Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, the topic is autism and the needs of the autism community from this legislature. On the program today, Jan Crandy will join us. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Joe Guild, Russell Rowe, and Trey Abney. It's all coming up next on all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
As a Nevada business owner, you know how important your workers' comp, accidents, and premiums are to your bottom line. Pro Group provides the leading workers' comp programs in the state. So when we're on your team, your hard-earned dollars stay right here in Nevada. With us, your premiums are an investment in your business. We provide long-term security and stability for your company. Pro Group prides itself on being a Nevada business that does business in Nevada. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Building economic prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we return to the studio to talk to Jan Crandy. She is the commissioner on the Nevada Commission on Autism Spectrum Disorders, commonly known as autism. Pleasure to have you back on the program, Jan. The thing that is scary to me are the numbers. The last time you were on this program, the rate was 1 in 150 kids. That number has now jumped to 1 in 50 kids. This is scary.
It is very alarming, and to think that these kids need treatment, it's expensive, and if they don't get treated, we're going to be taking care of them for the rest of their lives as adults.
Well,
and think about our employment force.
Well, this number of 1 in 50 is frightening in itself, but we've seen numbers in places specifically like Utah and South Korea where it's 1 in the 30s, in 36. These are staggering numbers. This is a huge problem.
Right, and I even think that our numbers could even be lower. It's, when they do these studies, the recent numbers that they did is actually by a survey, by phone calls to parents of school-age children. And so when they really look at those numbers, it's probably more.
Well, one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the program was that obviously with the legislative session and many of the people at the legislature watch this program, I wanted for them to try and understand the need that's really out there. Now, you had two bills going through the legislature. They both died. What were they for, and what are the chances of them being resurrected?
The reason why we did these bills was to address the insurance barriers that are happening to children not being able to access their insurance coverage. The bill that we passed in 2009, AB 162, promised children a defined amount of coverage to treat autism. At that time, insurance companies were discriminating against children with autism. They were not getting coverage for treatment, and that bill passed, and it defined therapeutic interventions such as speech therapy and occupational therapy in the bill. It also defined a maximum benefit of not less than $36,000 a year for applied behavior analysis, which is the most evidence-based treatment for children. And due to barriers in network inadequacies, families are not able to access this insurance. And even though that mandate helped some families, it still did not address every insurance companies. For instance, unions didn't have to provide coverage. Self-funded plans did not have to provide coverage. So our hope had been to fix the problems, that the loopholes that somehow were given in that bill to insurance companies to not provide coverage. That's what our hope had been with those two bills. And I'm sad that they died.
Who has been your biggest supporter at the legislature?
You know, I feel really strong that the legislators are very supportive of the autism community. When we went before the Labor and Commerce Committee, they were amazing, and I even felt Assemblywoman Maggie Carlton addressed the insurance lobbyist and was pretty hard on them and voiced her opinion that they need to be providing this coverage. We have had our longtime supporter, Assemblyman James Orenshaw, who has carried bills for us, Melissa Woodbury, and this time Marilyn Dondero Loop actually carried a bill for us. So I'm pleased with legislators. They have been there for us.
Okay.
It's the insurance companies I'm disappointed in.
Is there any chance of getting legislation that had failed at this point, they call it ghost legislation, that could come back near the end of the session?
I don't see how it could to address these. You know, one of the things we had wanted the bill to do was to provide a research level amount of treatment hours a week. We had asked for 30 hours a week for the maximum benefit to be defined as that. I don't know that they could do that. One of the things that possibly could get fixed is to enable the workforce of behavior interventionists to get certified in Nevada. Right now, there's only 47. They could possibly put some language that would remove, change the fees, make that process a little bit smoother so that we can grow this workforce and have more of them get the certification. The State Autism Treatment Assistance Program has 400 of these behavior interventionists. These are the people that deliver the bulk of treatment for the ABA programs. And there's only 47 statewide certified to deliver, to be able to work under insurance. So there's definitely a problem of getting these folks certified. It's because of the high fees and the process. So that could get fixed. The other thing that that the legislators could help us with would be to fund the entire wait list of the Autism Treatment Assistance Program. That's the state-funded program, which is actually even serving some kids that have insurance coverage because they're not able to access their insurance.
Okay, let's take a break. More with Jan Crandy when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is now open in South Reno. You'll enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the summit on South Virginia.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to MarilynMiner.com. The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is now open in South Reno. You'll enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the summit on South Virginia.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Jan Crandy. She is a commissioner on the Nevada Commission on Autism Spectrum Disorders, commonly known as autism. Jan, in our last segment, you started to talk about the wait list for kids needing treatment. And that wait list is more than 300 kids long at this point in time. The governor put funding in to increase the current caseload by 100 kids, but that still leaves 200 kids left behind, right?
Well, and it is 100 kids about per year over the biennium. The problem is that our caseload, our wait list grows by at least 10 kids each month, and we're not even advertising the program because we're already at capacity. And capacity right now is 137 kids. So to think statewide that our state program is only providing treatment to 137 kids is you know, a failure already. And don't think I'm not grateful for those 137 kids. Those are a lucky 137 kids, and they're making dramatic improvements. But to think that those kids that are on the waiting list and will continue to wait are going to miss their opportunity at a shot at best outcome.
And explain early intervention, because that's the big deal here, correct?
We want kids to get that high level of intensity treatment, hopefully starting before the age of 6. Treatment makes a difference for all kids, and we're seeing that. It's changing. Daily living skills, aggressive behavior, self-injurious behaviors are going away because of treatment at whatever age we get to a kid. But if we get to a kid the younger age, they have a chance to reach normal functioning levels. And that's what's important. Why these kids waiting on a waiting list, they are missing that chance. They are going to be locked into us taking care of them the rest of their life without treatment at some level of support.
And that's the bottom line. I mean, you know, we are seeing now tens of thousands of kids turning 18 and moving out of the school system. They cannot function on their own, correct?
Right. And the sad thing is that without treatment, 90% will need some level of support the rest of their life. And research has already shown that to take care of one low-functioning, untreated individual with autism can be as high as $6 million. And that is in adult care. So we're talking, we have the chance with, it would only take $5 million to fund the entire wait list. So that's what I'm asking, is for legislators to find that money so that we can have a chance at saving these kids. Employment rates for individuals, adults with autism, is less than 6%.
No, it's very
funny. Talking about a debilitating workforce too.
Well, and the thing is, you know, do you pay for it at the front end where it's going to be a lot less expensive than paying it at the back end when the cost will be astronomical? I mean, it really is a dollar and cents issue.
It is. It's a cost-effective choice. It's fiscally responsible for Nevada to choose to fund these kids, and it's a moral obligation. I mean, these parents are desperate. Every parent knows that with treatment, their child has a shot at being a typical kid, an adult that can take care of themselves. And they know without it, they don't have that chance.
Well, you know, it's
how can we do that to this population?
Well, and it's interesting, too. You know, people ask, well, why are we not seeing, you know, all these parents of autistic children at the legislature? The problem is they're working full-time jobs, and their second full-time job is taking care of their kids.
Right, and some of these kids are very aggressive. They're They have self-injurious behaviors. There's no rest. It's 24 hours a day. Lots of our kids have sleep disorders, the medical conditions that go along with autism that go undetected because a lot of the kids are nonverbal, so they can't even express. I mean, it is night and day that you are having to take care of your child. They're not at legislation because it's a hardship for them to get up every day. Take care of their kids.
Indeed. You know, when I was at UC Davis, one of the things that they were talking about there was the need to have cadavers so that they could examine the brains of people who had autism and who had passed on. But I'm hearing today that there may be some tests connected to placenta that might be able to show the potential for a child being born to have autism and therefore the chance to get early treatment. Have you any information on that?
I know that they are studying brains, and there's so many different studies going on right now to even find out the cause. We don't really know the true cause. We know that there's lots of different causes, environmental factors, and I know they're looking at ways to find out. I know that there's even studies looking at newborns and how their eyes track, that if they're looking at, there was one where they look at a revolving door versus how much they're looking at a person's face, and the kids that looked at objects more tended to lead to have autism, so treatment can start earlier. But treatment needs to start 18 months. That's another problem in Nevada. Our kids still are not getting identified soon enough, so treatment can start. And even when they are identified, before 3 years old, you would think in our early intervention system that these kids would get access to evidence-based research levels of treatment, and they're not. The majority of kids in our early intervention system with autism are getting under 10 hours a week of treatment. Most are getting an average of 5 hours a week.
Jan, this is where we got to leave it. My thought is that $5 million on the front end is a lot cheaper than what would come down the pike if we have to pay on the back end. Thank you so much for being here, and good luck, and I hope that these bills do turn into ghost bills and come back resurrected before the end of the session. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, safe ride home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
Hello, my name is Marshall with Marshall Realty, and I want to thank you for making us your number one short sale expert. And if you ever heard the word no from any bank, I promise you, results and a fresh start. Call me today.
Some people say personal injury claims are all about the money. Well, they're right. It is about the money to help salvage a decent life caused by another person's carelessness.
Go lightly in Vanna, 222-3333.
KRNV News 4 salutes all Nevadans who have served and are currently serving in America's Armed Forces.
As the Adjutant General for the state of Nevada, I'm extremely proud of Nevada's servicemen and women. With courage and dedication, they all play a key role in the nation's safety and security.
And we should all be proud of those Nevadans who have given the ultimate sacrifice in the defense of our great country.
Nevada was battle-born.
And we are
Nevada proud!
Nearly 24 million people in the United States have diabetes, and one out of four people who have diabetes don't even know they have it. Talk with your doctor. Don't delay.
Hi, my name's Marshall with Marshall Realty, and 2013 is the time to take action. There are so many programs that can help homeowners, but a lot of these programs are going to end this year, and they will affect you. So call me today for a free consultation.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're coming to you from the Gwynn Room in the Governor's Annex in Carson City. And we're here with a great Power Pundit panel. Joe Gill, the attorney, is here. Mm-hmm. Russell Rowe with the Capital Company, and Trey Abney, Director of Government Relations for the Chamber. Pleasure to have you all here. Joe, the thoughts of mining at this point in the session?
Well, last week we had taxation by
press release, so we don't know. Until a bill has been introduced, we can analyze a bill and see what its impacts are. We'll just wait and see what the legislature brings up. That's the plan by the six Republican senators. We heard over the weekend that there might be a modified business tax proposal by the Democratic Senate caucus. Again, until I see a bill and I can analyze it, I don't like to do anything other than wildly speculate.
And you know, you sound like the governor right now.
Well, I think the governor is one of the most intelligent people I know.
Russ, you know, gaming, you represent Boyd Gaming. Gaming's been sitting on the sidelines, said that they were going to be neutral in this session. But are there any thoughts emanating on the spotlight on mining?
On mining?
Right.
No. You know, gaming is always very sensitive to when it comes to taxing mining, obviously, because they're both industry-specific taxes. They both are subject to that. And, you know, whether or not folks within individual gaming industries think mining or someone else ought to be taxed more, I think they're very sensitive to come out and say that. So you're absolutely right. They tend to sit on the sidelines until they're dragged into it by usually a tax proposal.
And at this point in time, you know, all of you are good at doing one thing, which is counting numbers.
All I'm good at, yeah.
Did the six Republicans at this point have enough numbers to be able to make this mining tax go forward?
Personally, right now, today, I don't think they do, but I got to tell you, it seems like they're gaining momentum. At least among the press corps, they seem to be gaining momentum. And from what I understand, within the Democratic caucus, there's more pressure on them to look at some type of proposal.
You know, and it's interesting because Marilyn Kirkpatrick said that the services tax was dead because of pressure from the media.
Right.
Is the media really having that much influence on what's happening here in Carson City?
I'm not sure they are. It's kind of an echo chamber, and everybody's looking at Twitter in the building and following what media is saying about these committee hearings. I'm not sure it's really translating out to the public at large. They are going to do, looks like, a study over the interim on services tax, and not a study, but like an implementation, like how do we do this type of interim. As far as mining, I don't think they have the votes right now, Senator Roberson and his crew. But I think, I mean, that's definitely part of the endgame discussions. And those discussions are going to occur away from the TV cameras and certainly away from any of us. And I think he's going to say, if you guys want more revenue now, and right, that's what the Democrats are saying. We want revenue now for this next biennium, not wait for a ballot question to come and pass or fail in 2014. He's going to say, well, this has to be part of the deal. And so I think, you know, is he willing to accept more revenue now? Maybe. But he's going to want to have them on board in support of mining, which the Democrats have tended historically to be in support of doing something more with mining. Joe mentioned some kind of modified business tax specific to mining or some kind of new extraction tax. Wednesday will be very interesting. We're taping this on Monday, 2 days before the Economic Forum. That'll be very interesting when those numbers come out. Then you're going to see a lot of this stuff start to gel and the two sides come out with their proposals, I think.
Joe, you know, it seems to me, having followed the legislature for a long time, that mining has always been willing to come to the table and have the discussions. Is this really just opening up discussions, or is this really a situation where you feel it's being forced upon mining?
Well, so far, as far as I know, nobody's invited the mining industry to the table to talk about specific proposals. And by my count, six or seven times in the last 8 years, mining has come to the table and done things to help the state out by various means. So at the end of the day, though, Sam, you know, the governor has said he will veto any new tax increases. So I don't know where these legislators, how they get around that. And second of all, and I'll be quiet, but the Republican caucus in the Assembly, 14 members, has said they're not going to vote for any tax increases, and they need at least one of those people in the Assembly Republican caucus to vote with the Democrats to pass a two-thirds majority tax. So I see lots of hurdles, frankly. I don't see a tax increase passing this session, to tell you the truth.
You know, Russell, you've obviously observed many, many sessions. What's different about this session than previous sessions?
Oh, you asked that now. I was just listening to Joe, and it sounded like the same old refrain every session, that nothing's really happening. I would say from the beginning that the biggest difference was the relationship between leadership, obviously, okay, between the speakers,
yes, right,
and the majority or the minority leader in both parties. That seemed to be have a very solid working relationship. I know just my experience, and a few times I've been in the speaker's office early in session, and Crescent Hardy or Pat Hickey would walk in, and the camaraderie between them and Marilyn was really refreshing. Will that hold through the rest of the remaining 30 some odd days? That's the big question.
And the pressure is building up if this all goes through for the election in 2014. I mean, the advertising is going to be horrendous. Good news for people like me. But.
Well, that's right. Especially in an off year, you know, you've got all the constitutional officers up. And that's one of the reasons Senator Roberson is doing this with mining, right, is to play a political game and say, Democrats, you're sticking with mining over expanded class sizes, et cetera, et cetera. So they're already shaping up their arguments. And if we don't get any kind of tax revenue increases and we stay with the governor's budget, the Democrats will run around saying that the Republicans don't care about education. We've cut X amount from it. So it's already shaping up. I do agree with Russell. It's been the environment over there with leadership, not just how they treat each other, but how they treat other people in the building, lobbyists, constituents alike, is better. But we may be shaping up for another, I'll vote for taxes if you vote for reforms, and none of them will move, and we end up status quo.
And that's where we're going to leave it. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
If you always ask yourself, what's next, the Charter Triple Play is for you. Get it and stay on top of everything in TV, internet, and phone for just $29.99 a month each when bundled. Call 855-276-GET3. You can watch the next big game and the next hot show with 100-plus HD channels available. With On Demand, there are over 10,000 movies and shows to watch instantly. Watch TV on your smartphone, tablet, or other devices with mobile apps like Watch ESPN, Watch Disney Channel, HBO Go, and tons more. Charter TV, just $29.99 a month. Charter Internet is not just next, it's also fast. At up to 30 megabits per second, the nation's most powerful internet is 10 times faster than DSL. Enough bandwidth to support all of your devices. Order now, 855-276-GET3. Who do you want to talk to next? Call anyone with unlimited calling and none of the added fees of the phone company. Get Charter Phone. Want what's next? Get the Charter Triple Play. TV, internet, and phone, just $29.99 a month each one bundled with no contracts. Call 855-276-GET3.
This is a special announcement for Americans who currently owe back taxes to the IRS or the state. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, you may qualify for assistance in the form of special tax resolution programs that are available now. These programs can help you to determine your ability to settle your taxes for just a fraction of what you owe. If you need to file years of late returns, or if you've recently received collection letters from the IRS or state, protect yourself and your bank account and call the number on your screen to talk to someone from the Tax 10,000 Network. Call today to be connected with an experienced tax professional that can negotiate directly with the IRS on your behalf. You don't have to face the IRS alone. The Tax 10,000 Network has helped people all over America with their tax problems, so don't wait. Call the number on your screen now or visit tax10000.com.
On our next broadcast, District Attorney Dick Gamek is going to make some news. We'll see you on the next broadcast.